Private residence.
Cha.
And. Ridayam. The heart. Avishuchihi. The servant name. Vishuchina. Manaha. The mind. Uchite. Is said. Tatra. There. Moham, illusion. Prasadam, satisfaction. Va, or. Harsham, jubilation. Prapnoti, obtains. Tat, of the mind. Gunahai, by the modes of nature. Translation. The word anta pura refers to the heart. The word vishuchina, meaning going everywhere, indicates the mind. Within the mind, the living entity enjoys the effects of the modes of material nature. These effects sometimes cause illusion, sometimes satisfaction, and sometimes jubilation. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The mind and intelligence of the living entity in material existence are affected by the modes of material nature, and according to the association of the material modes, the mind is habituated to go here and there. The heart feels satisfaction, jubilation, or illusion according to the effects of the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity in his material condition remains inert. It is the modes of material nature that act on the mind and heart. The results are enjoyed or suffered by the living entity. This is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter, text 27. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Okay. So, antapuram cha hridayam vishuchir mana uchite tatra moham prasadam va harsham prapnoti tad gunahai. So, umagana timidanda sha gananjana shlakaya chakshur and meditam yena tasmai shirvena maha. So, as we were quoting the verse from the Bhagavad Gita last night, Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasad Janma Jonishu, by association with different modes of nature, the living entity becomes entangled, and because of those modes of nature that the living entity associates with, one develops particular types of sense objects that one gets attached to. That means, as they say, I don't know if you know this English expression, one man's food is another man's poison. So just like you see, you like certain types of food, and someone else will like a different type of food. And it's interesting, in some parts of the world, they eat food which is so abominable that you can't even look at. You know, like raw eels or ants, you know, chocolate-covered ants. Probably they even have that here in Denmark. You know, chocolate-covered ants, you know, crunchy. Or they take these worms and they make fries out of them. Just like you have here, you know, fries, you know, French fries you can buy at McDonald's. So they have these worms that they make fries and they're very crunchy and people eat them. And they like them. They're very much addicted to them. Because of the modes of nature. So sometimes we may criticize them and say, oh, look at those crazy people. They're addicted or they like to eat this particular thing. But the interesting thing is you could become addicted, you, means all of us, can become addicted to anything by association with modes of nature. Just like liquor. Liquor, of course, that means alcohol, alcoholic drinks. When one first drinks liquor,
when one's a young child or something like that. It doesn't taste good. I'm not going to ask who here has drunk liquor, but anyway. Anyway, I'm sure you all have, those of you who have. Frankly, even in India, everybody drinks liquor now, too, isn't it? You too. So it's amazing in India, like the high-class Hindu families, so-called, they're eating chicken or eating, they don't eat beef, but they're eating chicken and they drink liquor. Liquor is very prominent in India right now. And you see signs on the road, drunk driving, no drunk driving, drink driving, they say, drink driving. So just like when you first take liquor, it tastes horrible. I mean, it's abominable taste, right? But then after a while, I was talking to one devotee who joined the movement, and she was, anyway, before she joined the movement, she got drunk a lot, a lady drunkard. And so I asked, you know, what does liquor taste like? Because I don't know. And she said, it's sweeter than nectar. I said, huh? All I remember about liquor was when I was 13, we had this religious ceremony in my particular religion, and you're supposed to take a little wine or something like that, and it was like taking fire water. You know, that burned the throat. I said, I don't want to drink any of this stupid stuff anymore. But, you know, the first time you do it, then after a while you get addicted, right? And I think cigarettes are pretty similar, although I never got into smoking cigarettes, that, I mean, even if I smell the smoke of cigarettes, I start to get sick. Yesterday I was in the airport, and they have this, it was in the airport in Frankfurt, and they have this, what's called camel smoking rooms. Camels referring to the type of cigarettes that they smell, that they sell. You've heard of this before? And the smoking rooms. And I was just trying to chant Japa. I was walking back and forth in the airport, and every time I went within 100 meters of this smoking room, I just couldn't breathe. It was just like horrible. Or even like you're walking on the street and someone's smoking on the street. It's just a horrible smell, isn't it? Yet people are doing it. And so I guess the first time they start, like you see little kids, sometimes they start smoking because of social pressure, right? Social pressure means everyone does it. That's one of the reasons why it's not so good to send devotee children to regular schools. Because there's social pressure. You understand? Social pressure means the other kids say, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you eating meat? Why aren't you smoking cigarettes or whatever? So anyway, so a child starts it for the first time. Ooh. And then after a while, because of that, attachment develops. Mm-hmm. That's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Jayato vishak pum sam sangastesha pajayate sangatsa jayate kama kama krodha pajayate. You contemplate something enough and you get attached to it. That's just the way the mind works. Because you're associating with the modes of nature that are connected with that particular sense object. Isn't it? You can get attached to anything. I mean, people sometimes are engaged in what is called sadomasochism. I don't know if you've heard about that. That means they take pleasure either in hurting others or in getting hurt themselves. They even pay for people to beat them. Can you imagine that? You know, go out in the street and say, here's 50 euros, why don't you beat me up? Or take a chain, you know, and beat me. So they take pleasure in these things because basically they get attached to them. So you can get attached to anything because of the modes of nature. Anything, you know, just like you go to the cinema. Of course, you shouldn't go to the cinema. But let's say if you go to the cinema and you watch some movie. What's the name of a movie? Does anyone know? Anyway. What?
Avatar.
Haladar?
Avatar.
Avatar, okay. That's a bona fide movie, Avatar, coming from the spiritual world. You know, Shaktavasya Avatar, Guna Avatar, Leela Avatar, right? It's bona fide. Mm-hmm. So let's say you go to the movie, Avatar, okay. So you go and you think, you know, it's Avatar, it's a spiritual name. Actually, the word Avatar, you know what it means in Sanskrit? It's really interesting. It means to cross down. That's the Sanskrit etymological significance of that word. It means crossing down or down crossing. It means someone who comes down, something who comes down or someone who comes down. Tara can sometimes mean bridge too in Sanskrit, like a bridge or crossing. Avatara means the bridge down or crossing down. Just like you have this word Tirtha, that means the place where you cross. Did you know the Tirtha? Like a Tirtha is a holy place, and that's the place where you cross up. Tirtha. That's how the word is derived etymologically in Sanskrit, which is really interesting. So so let's say you go to see this movie. I threw in some Sanskrit there for you all. So let's say you go to see this movie, and then you're watching as, you know, this man goes into, anyway, I'm not going to tell you what the movie's about, because you get it more, Maya. So this blue man falls in love with the blue girl, right? That's what it's about. They don't get married yet, but anyway, they fall in love. Hey, they did get married there. There's a sort of marriage. And so you do that, and so then after a while, watching it, you get attached to it, and you start dreaming about it. It starts having dreams about Avatar, and then you're thinking, if you've seen the film, you're thinking, when are they coming out with a sequel? You know what a sequel is? Sequel is a second part, right? Isn't it? You're thinking, when can I see the second part of it? When is it going to come out? It's so wonderful. So you get the mind actually gets attached to things like that by association. And, of course, sound vibration is very powerful association. Sight is powerful, but not as powerful as sound. And so that's why we have to be careful. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "What a satsanga chage Vaishnav achar." Then a Vaishnava has to be very careful not to associate a satsang. That means the sang actually means connection. So to connect oneself with something that is not spiritual, because the mind can become covered, and by whatever mode of nature it is, and you could become covered and do the weirdest things, the unimaginable things, if you associate with that mode of nature enough. I mean, you could end up in the discos or whatever. So therefore, what Sadhu Sangha, it's good to have good association, because then you would become attached to Krishna. And good association is by transcendental sound vibration. Transcendental sound vibration makes one attached to Krishna. So how do we do that? It's not only just the morning program. We should be hearing about Krishna 24 hours a day. One thing I've discovered recently, and I've been talking about this in my classes elsewhere, is that if you, using modern technology, if you make the arrangements, you, like MP3 players or something like that, you make the arrangement. Whatever you're doing, you have time to hear during the day. Like Prabhupada would also say that you should chant 16 rounds on the bead and something like 100 rounds off the beads every day. So there's so much time during the day when we can hear about Krishna, you know, some of Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna's pastimes are very, Satam Pasangam, Mamavirya, Samvado, Bhavanti Vidkarna, Rasayana Kata, Chajoshana Dashu, Apavarga Vartmani, Shadar Ratir Bhakti Anukramishati. So Krishna's pastimes are very, let's say, heroic in that particular verse. Mamavirya Samvidaha, the talks that are very heroic. So they're full of all drama and full of all heroism and full of romance. I mean, whatever you like to hear about. Like recently I've been hearing a lot from the Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana. Prabhupada said that's the bona fide Ramayana. Those of you from India, you're more accustomed to the Tulsidas Ramayana, right? Well, it's North India at least. Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, in North India, they're very attached to this Ramayana called the Tulsidas Ramacharita Manasas. But in South, the actual Ramayana is the Valmiki Ramayana. And so the Valmiki Ramayana, the reason I've been listening to it, and it just like absorbs the mind in Ram's pastimes. Brahms pastimes are very wonderful. I mean, the Ramayana is very wonderful. It's actually the longest epic poem on earth. Epic poem, you know, epic poem means it tells a story of different dynasties, families. It tells a story of romance, of conquering, of kshatriyas. It's longer than, of course, much longer than the Bhagavatam, much longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey. You know about the Iliad and Odyssey? That's a Greek work. Never heard about that?
Is it also longer than Mahabharata?
It's longer than Mahabharata, yeah. It's longer than Mahabharata. Yeah, far longer than Mahabharata. And it's an epic poem, so it's like, it's an adventure. So there's everything in it. So when you listen to it, you get very excited. So what I do is that when I do my puja for the deities, I listen to the Ramayana. Before I go to sleep at night, I put it on, listen to it when I go to sleep, like a bedtime story. And then in the middle of the night, you're dreaming about Ram or Ravana or Kumbhakarna, you know, depending on what part you're on. It's just wonderful. I mean, it's just wonderful. The mind is so much absorbed in that you're happy. Whereas in the material world, as it says here in this verse, when we're associating with the material nature, sometimes there's illusion, satisfaction, jubilation, and sometimes, and most of the times, it's just misery, you know, just like hankering for something else. But the mind becomes very, very joyful when one associates with Krishna Katha. That's my experience. You know, people ask, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, why are you so happy? And the reason is I just listen to Krishna Katha all the time. And by doing that, they're happy. Because that's a real shelter. Everything else in this world will disappear. It'll disappear. The world is so fragile that if you lose your sense of sight, you lose your hearing, which is very fragile, these senses, then everything disappears. But Krishna consciousness never disappears. You understand? And it is a fact. When you die, everything will disappear. It's like Shakespeare said, life's but a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. So it's like that. I mean, all these things we're attached to, this body, our friends, our relatives, our computers, whatever we're attached to, then it's like the curtain just closes, right? Or as Prabhupada said, the whole show is only temporary. The curtains just go boop, and then it's over. Then you walk out of the theater. Isn't it? Have you ever been to a theatrical performance? No. Or a movie? It's just like when it's over, when Avatar is over, you know, using Avatar again, and they're rolling the credits. You know what credits are at the end of the movie? That so-and-so plays this part, so-and-so used the camera, so-and-so was the director, so-and-so was the scene designer, and you're just feeling very unhappy. Because the whole show is over.
But this one is nice. This one is like this particular one has a nice ending. and the good wins, you know. The good.
Yeah, but as soon as it ends, it's over, and you walk out of the theater, and you're left with a feeling of emptiness.
And then you have plenty of ideas, you know. There's nice war and
good. All right, so. But you're left with a feeling, I mean, just there's nothing left. It's not there anymore. It's not real. Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. Ubiyor api drishto antas 20 statva darshavi. You know, it's just temporary. It's no reality to it. It's just some images on a screen. And so the same thing with this life. It's just some rite ritam na pratyeta. It's like a reflection.
Some devotees were saying that these flying mountains were taken from the Bhagavatam.
Yes, that's a different subject matter. Yeah. But it's like a reflection that appears in darkness, right? Or it's like the shadow puppet. You ever heard of a shadow puppet? They shine a light and someone goes like this in front of the light. And then you see a shadow, you see things happening, and someone talks. Hello, hello. Like that is two people talking. You know, some people are very expert. They can make people look from the hands, the shadows. But it's like that. There's no substantiality. Yes, certainly. What you're saying is true. Many of these different producers, directors, and writers got ideas from the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, especially Avatar, and also another series called Star Wars, which you may have remembered. You don't know about that. Anyway, forget it. I don't want to pollute your minds. But don't go to watch it. I'm not saying watch it. I'm just saying that they got the ideas from the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. But it's all like smoke rings. It just doesn't have any real existence. Whereas Krishna consciousness, you know, Krishna Katha, Ram's pastimes, it's real. It's real. And it, not only is it real, but when you hear about it, it actually manifests in the heart. It becomes real for you. You can perceive it. You can enter into it. You can understand the mood. You can associate with the characters in that katha, right? That's a nice thing. I mean, if you want to be happy, this is the secret. If you don't want to be happy, just continue going to Avatar. I mean, how many times can you see the movie? Right? I'm not going to ask who's been there several times. But how many times can you go see it? But with Ram or Krishna's pastime, how many times can you chant Hare Krishna unlimitedly? So, anyway, so this is the point. We should take shelter in something that's going to make us happy, that we don't lose. That is to our eternal benefit. That we never lose contact with it, isn't it? And that's Krishna Katha. So these are some of the points I want to make. And I wanted to spend a little time talking about the two personalities that appear today, because this is very important personalities. I made some notes about these two personalities. The first one is Mukunda Dat Thakur. It's Mukunda Dat and it's actually Kolaveksha Sridhar who appear today, the two personalities. So, first of all, Mukunda Dat is very important. He's the brother of Vasudev Dat, the great personality who is the personification of compassion, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Krishna's pastimes, he was known as Madhukanta. And in Sanskrit, Madhukanta means throat. And Madhu means like a bee or honey. So honey throated. In other words, he could sing very well. He was one of the associates of Krishna who sung for Krishna in his pastimes, Madhukanta. And they were, Lord Chaitanya and Mukunda Dat were about the same age and they studied together in school. And what happened is before Lord Chaitanya exhibited his pastimes as being a great devotee, Lord Chaitanya manifested pastimes as someone who was just interested in logic and reasoning, and he would defeat the devotees. Lord Chaitanya would approach the devotees and he would just challenge them to debate, and he would defeat the devotees, and devotees got very upset, of course, at that, and they would avoid Nimai. He wasn't known as Chaitanya at that time. They would avoid Nimai, and they all got together and prayed that Lord Chaitanya would become a devotee. So all the devotees, Mukunda and Advaitacharya and others, just prayed, "My dear Lord Krishna, if Nimai becomes a devotee, then he'll become a great preacher." So by their prayers, Lord Chaitanya Nimai became a devotee. So anyway, let's see. So Advaitacharya, of course, is mentioned here also. He's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation in Gaya from Ishwara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the pastimes of being a great devotee of Krishna. Generally, he didn't show himself as Krishna. Sometimes he did, but generally he didn't. Generally, he just chanted and showed others how to perform devotional service. And one time during His pastimes at Srivas Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand around Mukunda's neck, and he said to Mukunda, "Mukunda, you are the most fortunate one. I have wasted my time unnecessarily learning useless theories. My life has passed uselessly without having Krishna." And Mukunda Dat was also the person who introduced Gadadhar Pandit Goswami to his spiritual master, Pundarik Vidyaneethi. What happened is that, I'll just tell the story in very short form, is that Gadadhar Pandit was brought by Mukunda Dat to see Pundarik Vidyaneethi. And when they saw Pundarik Vidyaneethi, they saw that he was dressed very opulently, seated on an opulent bedstead. And Gadadhar was thinking that this person is just a materialist. Like if you go to visit a devotee, and the devotee is chewing betel nut and has long hair and with oil in the hair and jewelry all over the place, you'll think this person is not very advanced in devotional service, right? Generally, you want to see someone who's renounced, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. But so Mukunda understood Gadadhara's doubts in Pundarik Vidyaneethi. So he began to sing about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then at that particular point, Pundarik Vidyaneethi went into an ecstatic trance, kicked apart his bed, threw off all of his jewels, and then because of that, Gadadhar Pandit understood that Pundarik Vidyaneethi was a great devotee. In fact, he was incarnation of Rishabhanu, Radharani's father. And Gadadhar Pandit decided to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyaneethi. So that's another story about Mukunda Dat. So another story is Mukunda was actually very liberal. So he had friends, all sorts of friends all over the place. Not only devotees, but, you know, everybody. Mayavadis and everybody, yogis. He had great, great friends everywhere. So because of that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one particular juncture didn't let Mukunda into the Shiva Sangam where they were having the kirtan. So Mukunda was waiting outside, just waiting for the Lord to invite him in. And Srivas Thakur said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are showing your mercy to everyone, but why not Mukunda? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the reason is because Mukunda is not very sincere. He's not going to get my mercy. And Srivas Thakur asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why isn't he going to get your mercy? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, and these are his words, "Jai Sri Sri Gaura Nitai." When Mukunda goes to the assembly of knowledgeable persons, he supports them. Those who ignore my swaroop insult me. Those who are devoted to my swaroop make me happy. Those who speak against me sometimes and worship me other times, they are insincere hypocrites. They cannot be blessed by my mercy. In other words, he was saying, I'm not interested in giving him my mercy. So when Mukunda heard these words, and Srivas conveyed these words to him, Mukunda decided to commit suicide. And Srivas again went to the Lord and said, Mukunda's ready to commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, all right, Mukunda will be blessed with me, but only after millions of births. And upon hearing this statement, Mukunda began dancing joyfully, saying, I will be able to have his darshan after millions of births. And he rolled on the ground and repeated this again and again. Also, that's an indication of how a devotee should be merciful. A devotee should be patient, ready to execute Krishna consciousness for many, many births for an unlimited amount of time to actually get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's another story. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just one or two more stories about Mukunda. At Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas ceremony, Mukunda was singing, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang, danced at that time. And at the Rath Yatra, Mukunda was was in charge of one of the groups of singers. So that's Mukunda Dat. And he departed on the full moon day of the month of Jayishta, which is May and June. All right. And then there's Kolavechar Shudhar. Let's see, where is he? Get to him in a second. So Kolavechar Shudhar, who also appeared today. Let me just go back to the beginning here. He lived in Mayapur, and he maintained himself. This Prabhupada also talks about this, but most of this story is coming from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He maintained himself by selling bananas, vegetables, banana leaves, and cups. And whatever little income he had, 50% of that income went for worshiping the Ganges River. And all night long, he would be chanting Krishna's names. And because of that, his atheistic Hindu neighbors thought that he was just crying out in hunger. They thought, you know, he's just hungry, you know, Krishna, Krishna. Like if you get hungry, sometimes you say, Krishna, Krishna. So they thought he was just so hungry. And because he was giving everything to worship the Ganges rather than utilizing the money to buy food for himself. This is a very interesting statement in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It says, this clumsy, boorish knave couldn't get enough rice to fill his belly, but it is we who have to suffer as he keeps us awake by loud moaning and hunger. But he didn't worry about that. He just kept chanting Hare Krishna. So the most important thing, actually, was that his interactions with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly go there to Mukundadat's store, Kolavechar Shudhar's store, to get bananas and vegetables. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bargain with him over the prices of banana flowers, which you can eat. And here's the interaction that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya tried to snatch it, to actually take it away without paying for it. And Shridhar said, why do you behave like this, my dear brother? And Lord Chaitanya said, some think you are a renunciant, but I know that you have so much hidden wealth. You were trying to snatch these things out of my hand, but after so many days, you still do not know who I am? I am the father of the Ganges who you worship. I am only telling you the truth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I am the source of everything. I'm the father of the Ganges. I'm God. So Shridhar, Kolavechar Shridhar, he thought, this guy is crazy. Like if someone comes to you and says, I'm God. You know, in India, of course, you have so many gods. Like Satyasai God or whatever he is. He recently died. And Shridhar replied by saying, Vishnu, Vishnu, and put his hands over his ears. And he thought Nimai Pandit was crazy. But then he reflected upon Lord Chaitanya's character. And he thought, Gaurasundara's form is very beautiful enough to bewilder Cupid himself. The beautiful tilak on his forehead steals one's mind away. His dhoti looks very beautiful and tied in three places, and his hair is very wavy. Two things are very restless, his nature and his eyes. The white Brahmin thread encircling his body looks so beautiful, as though a subtle form of Anantashesh is residing on his body. His lips red from chewing pan, he laughs and looks. And then he takes some bananas, picking them up himself. So that's from the Chaitanya Bhagavata quote. So Lord Chaitanya continued playing with the bananas, put them back on the ground, and picked them up again. Kolavechar Shridhar said, then, listen to me, Thakur. I am your dog, so kindly forgive me. You don't have to pay anything. Take it for free. And Lord Chaitanya replied, you are very clever, Shridhar. By selling bananas, you have become very wealthy. Then Kolavechar Shridhar said to him, my dear Thakur, are there no other stores in this bazaar? And Lord Chaitanya replied, "There are so many, but what is that to me? You are my regular supplier. Why should I give you up?" And Sridhar said, "Yes, yes, Thakur. Now I fall at your feet. I am defeated by you. From today I will give you what you want. You can take anything for free." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But you just give me old rotten things." And then Kulavetra Sridhar said, "Dear Thakur, why should I give you bad vegetables?" After arguing in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went home, and Sridhar sat transfixed. That means his eyes were just fixed into the distance, gazing after them. And then he said, "Someday this boy will be a great liberated soul. How sweetly he speaks and what wonderful expressions he makes. Though he behaves with me in such a rascal manner, still I feel no remorse in my mind. He doesn't go to any other shop, but he only comes to me. I am so fortunate." And then there's another quote, which is really nice. This is just a philosophical statement by Vrindavan Das Thakur. "The Lord eats what is offered by his devotees. He doesn't even look at what may be offered by non-devotees, even though they may be 10 million varieties of preparations." So every day this happened. One day he came to Sridhar's house. Though he did not make any jokes today, that particular day, Lord Chaitanya would not leave Sridhar's house. Sridhar then offered Lord Chaitanya a seat. Sitting down, Lord Chaitanya told Sridhar, "All day you chant Hare Krishna. You worship Lakshmi Narayan as well, but how is it that you are so poor? You have so little to eat and your clothes are so meager." And then Sridhar replied, "But Thakur, though I may eat very little, I am not fasting, and as for my clothes, whether they are few or many, still I wear something." Lord Chaitanya replied, "My dear Sridhar, you may indeed be wearing some cloth, but I see that it is patched in at least 10 places. And though you live in a house, there is no thatching on the roof. Just see the people in Navadvip worship goddess Chandi and Durga. They get so much material happiness. Isn't that so?" And then Sridhar replied, "You have spoken correctly, dear Thakur. Still, everyone's days are passing the same. The king lives in a jeweled palace and eats dainty foodstuffs and wears the most excellent apparel. And the birds simply live in the treetops. But tomorrow they will become equals because everyone has to reap the results of his activities according to the will of the Lord." Then Lord Chaitanya began to joke again. "Sridhar, I know you have so much wealth. You are simply hiding it. I'm going to tell everyone. I see how you cheat these people." And Sridhar said, "Thakur, you should go home. I don't want to quarrel with you." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Just one more thing, Sridhar. Whatever you want to give me, please bring it now. Unless you give me something, I cannot leave." And Sridhar said, "Look, Pandit, I'm a poor man. By selling banana stalks and bananas, I am not even able to feed myself properly. I just don't have anything suitable to give you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "All right, let your buried riches remain hidden. For now, just give me some banana stalks, bananas, and banana flowers." Sridhar thought to himself, "This Brahmin boy might be somewhat touched in the head." That means crazy. "If I answer back too much, he might even beat me. And because he is the son of a Brahmin, if he beats me, I won't be able to retaliate. Then again, I can't afford to give vegetables and bananas away to him for free every day. Yet again, because he is a Brahmin and thus an expansion of the Lord, whatever service I can render to him is actually my great fortune." Then he spoke, "You don't have to pay me anything today. Here, take these bananas, banana stalks, banana flowers, but don't quarrel with me anymore." And Lord Chaitanya said, "If you give away nice things, my dear Sridhar, who can quarrel with you? But give nice things. Don't give a blind cow in charity to a Brahmin." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went home. And as he was going home, he said to Sridhar, "What do you think of me? If you tell me truthfully, then I'll go." And then Sridhar said, "You are the son of a Brahmin, an expansion of Vishnu." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Sridhar, I'm surprised you still don't know who I am. I'm a coward boy. The glories of your mother Ganges are also due to me." And Sridhar started yelling, "You don't even respect Mother Ganges. As people get older, they become subdued and temperate. But at your age, you were getting more and more restless. Now you better go home and don't fight with me anymore. It was a nice pastime. Lord Chaitanya then laughed and went home. So these are the different pastimes he had. And when Lord Chaitanya finally revealed that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he called Sridhar there to Srivast Thakur's house. And he said, "Bring Sridhar here. Let him see my divine form. He has executed so many penances and austerities and tolerated so much trouble in order to have my darshan." And it was the middle of the night. They brought Sridhar there, who was absorbed in chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. And then he became conscious and he said, "What brings you here in the middle of the night?" And they said, "Sridhar, hurry up. Mahaprabhu is calling you. He sent us to bring you." And simply hearing of the mention of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sridhar fainted to the ground in a swoon of ecstatic love. The devotees picked him up and Lord Chaitanya said, "Come here, come here. In order to get a glimpse of me, you have performed so much worship and so many births. In this life, you have served me so much. With great satisfaction, I have tasted your vegetables, bananas, banana flowers, eaten with rice from your banana leaves. Have you forgotten this, Sridhar? Just get up and see my divine form." So then he saw Lord Vishwambar with a bluish bodily complexion holding in his hand a flute and accompanied by Balaram standing on his right. So this is the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. And Kolavecha Sridhar is, actually, in some of the Vaishnava literature, it's described as Vrindavan pastimes. He is known as Madhu Mangal. The Brahmin, the funny Brahmin friend of Krishna who jokes with him all the time. And in this particular instance of Chaitanya's pastimes, you have Lord Chaitanya teasing Madhu Mangal. But in Krishna's pastimes, you have Madhu Mangal teasing Krishna. You understand? It's sort of reversed in that particular point. I'll just tell one or two stories from Krishna's pastimes. Once upon a time, Radharani sent Krishna a love letter. And in that love letter, the love letter was written on leaves. Just like they didn't have paper in those days, so they wrote on leaves. And so they delivered the love letter to Krishna from Radharani. And they said, "Oh, here is a letter from Radharani." And Madhu Mangal said, "This is useless. It just has a bunch of letters on it. If it had some ladus on it, it would be nice." But just useless letters. And Krishna said, "Just be quiet. You know, let me read the love letter." So that's one story about Madhu Mangal. Another story is that Mother Yashoda asked Krishna when he came back from herding the calves and the cows, she asked him, "Why you come back so late?" And Madhu Mangal said, "You know, he's just been looking at all the girls today." And Krishna said, he said, "Shut up, you know, this fool is going to get me in trouble." So anyway, there's so many nice stories told by the Acharyas about Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal's creates a lot of humor in the pastimes of Krishna. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his interactions with Kolavecha Sridhar, created a lot of humor, but in a sort of reverse way. Okay, so any questions or comments about any of the points in class or anything about these two great personalities? Yes?
Well, as you mentioned, the glories of the MP3 players and the Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
And I think also Prabhupada mentioned, like, Prabhupada set the example that he could use them.
Technology, yeah.
Yeah, and you gave the example also of Vrindavan Janidhi. And all, but also we see that there's examples of Sanatana Goswami and also Chandra Mahaprabhu. So you had this charter and he said, "No, you should be Vrindavan."
Yeah.
So how do we know we really want the path we should follow?
Well, if something can help Krishna consciousness, increase the Krishna consciousness, that should be accepted. But for most of us, like having jewelry, like for the men at least, having jewelry, you know, I don't want to see any of the men with ankle bells. Women, they can wear ankle bells. But most of the men, like, you know, they have jewelry and all decorations and drive around in a BMW or something. That's not really going to help their Krishna consciousness that much. But if they can use it for preaching. However, okay, so sometimes people criticize the technology the devotees utilize. when Prabhupada was on the planet, people would criticize him for using a microphone. Nowadays, nobody criticizes you for using a microphone, right? But Prabhupada said, you know, this is Krishna service. This is all, Krishna has given the intelligence to all these scientists, technologists, to develop these things so they can be used in a service. And everything, practically everything is technology. Just like you may say, well, I don't like to use electronic technology, you know, it's Maya. But what is a book? A book is technology, right? Why do we need a book? Does anyone have an idea why we need a book?
Because of the lack of memory.
That's right. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Because it's Kali Yuga. Isn't it? That we can't remember things. You know, if we can remember things, you don't need a book. So the book, technology, in fact, is a crutch. You know what a crutch is? Just like if you've broken your leg, you have a crutch. And if you don't have a crutch, you can't walk if you have a broken leg. So this, all this technology is a crutch because we are so defective in Kali Yuga. Our minds are defective. That's all it is. It's just a crutch. And if you see it like that, so therefore, like MP3 players or like what I was reading from in class is an electronic book. Yeah, it's a book, but it's electronic. So within this thing here, I have all of Prabhupada's books here. I'm holding all of Prabhupada's books in my hand. See how strong I am? The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, all of Prabhupada's books. Just like that. Yeah, lifting weights. So therefore, it's a crutch. But we need it. Because of who we are. And it helps me become Krishna conscious. You just have to be practical. I mean, everything's like the body is technology too, right? Isn't the body technology? Krishna says, yantra runani maya. It's a yantra, it's a machine. Even Krishna says it's a machine. He uses the word yantra. Right? Bhagavad Gita. It's a machine made, moving on material energy. Yantra Rudani Maya, moving on the material energy. Of course, Krishna's in the heart of this machine. So Krishna's also in the heart of this machine. Didn't you know that? Krishna's in the heart of your MP3 player. He's in every atom. So he's everywhere. Everything is meant to be utilized for Krishna. And there's so much. There's nothing wrong with technology. Of course, if one becomes enamored by it, I mean, it's like if one becomes enamored by bodily strength, then that also puts you in Maya, bodily strength or intelligence. Janmaishwarya Shudasha Shibir Edamana Adapuman. By beauty or rich wealth or learning, one becomes enamored, right? Queen Kunti, this is from Queen Kunti. So we should utilize it if it helps us become Krishna conscious. And if it's playing Krishna guitar, it definitely will help us become Krishna conscious. But if you use it to play, what's the name of a musical group nowadays? I don't know any of the musical groups. Lady Gaga. No. You've heard of her? Thank God. She's an extremely ugly person. Anyway, so she's a very famous singer nowadays, or whatever she's saying. I never heard her, but I just read it in the news. If you use it to play that, then it takes you away from Krishna. But if you use it to play Krishna, you go, oh, well, how can it hurt you? So renunciation should be appropriate to accept everything favorable and to reject everything unfavorable. That's the point. And actually, for sannyasi, renunciation is different from those in different orders of life. We were talking about that the other day. It was the Panihati festival the other day, right? Was that was on Monday, I think. Monday, at least in America, maybe Sunday here. Whatever. We were discussing about Raghunath Das Goswami and his renunciation, right? Does anyone remember that? Did you talk about Panihati here? Or? No, it was a celebration. I mean, it was actually the day of Panihati when Raghunath Das Goswami got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So
When, anyway, so let's fast forward through the story. When Raghunath Das Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar, he said, "I've taken the renounced order of life, but I don't know what my duty is." And then, does anyone remember what Lord Chaitanya said through Swarup Damodar Goswami to Raghunath Das Goswami? Now that you've taken the renounced order of life, what's the rest of it? Yeah, you don't eat opulent food, don't wear opulent clothes, and you should always, within your mind, think of what? Oh, Radha and Krishna. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that was the instruction. So with sannyas, I gave this class at the Sunday feast because I didn't want to frighten everybody. You know, because the Sunday feast mostly was people who were married, you know, our congregation. So I didn't want to frighten them with Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation. How he would just take the rice that was thrown away and just wash it with water and then put a little salt on it, and that was his food, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that. So I wanted to explain to them that renunciation differs according to the person, especially within the Varnashram system. So sannyasi has as his duty not to eat opulent food and not to dress opulently. I don't think I'm dressing opulently. But I'm not going to walk around with torn clothes either because I'm preaching. This is for preaching. I mean, when I go to India, I spend a lot of time at Govardhan, I feel the inclination just to put on a Babaji dress, which I don't do, obviously, and just go around chanting, Hare Krishna, I would love to do that. But because we've been given this order by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to preach, then we dress appropriately for preaching, whatever is required for preaching. And that's the point. What is it? Utility is the principle, as Prabhupada would say. So that's very important. So one shouldn't think that technology in and of itself is maya. It's how you use something. I mean, everything is technology. The body is a machine. It's just, you know, the muscles are just like gears or whatever it is in the body, and the circulatory system, and the brain is like the computer up there, and the eyes are like the TV cameras. And you're seated in the heart driving the machine. So that's technology. You want to throw away technology, you might as well die. Yeah.
It's just I have a good friend in Australia, and she told me that her and her husband, they use the computers a lot, but they were sitting in the same room. And then suddenly she got a mail from him.
Yeah.
That he was very hungry and needed prasadam.
Well, that's good. At least it helps them communicate with each other. Nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, that sometimes people are joking like that. They do joking. There's a little humor in Krishna consciousness. You can't be too dry in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told jokes. I mean, Prabhupada, there's that famous story where his servant, Prabhupada's servant, wasn't so enthusiastic about the people going to the moon, you know. His name was Purushottam. And he wasn't believing that he was so enthusiastic. He thought, obviously, he was enthusiastic. He thought, wow, it's great. We're going to the moon. And Prabhupada didn't pay much attention to it. So when this person went into the kitchen to cook, there was some sort of explosion. And he got some soot or black things on his face. And then he came in to see Prabhupada. And everyone asked, what has happened to Purushottam? And Prabhupada said, he's gone to the moon. You know, so Prabhupada had a sense of humor too. So, no, you can become enamored with this. I mean, you can spend all day long on Facebook or something. You know what Facebook is? Everybody knows what Facebook is. But you can also preach with it. I mean, I have my Facebook page and I have thousands of friends there. So that means every time I post a picture, every day I post pictures of the deities, you know, where I am or my particular Sheila's, or I post there's thoughts of the day. Thousands of people are hearing that. I mean, can you imagine having an audience every day of thousands of people? It's hard. So you're using technology to spread Krishna consciousness. And if you don't do that, as the modern world changes, if you don't utilize the means that people are using on a daily basis, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, in other words, you're just going to be not accomplish anything. Unless you can change with the culture as far as your means of presenting Krishna consciousness, then you're not going to make substantial progress. So you have to adapt like that. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could elaborate more about this link between jnana and realization. I mean, we know it's Maya, to watch movies, we know.
Not all movies, the Ramayana is nice.
No, but, you know, we know what it's Maya, and it's still somehow other.
I don't want to say so much it's Maya. I mean, I think that's a little dangerous to go around calling things Maya. I think that, you know, sometimes things can be used in Krishna's service. Like if someone is doing a dramatic presentation and they can learn something by watching something. I mean, it's not a black or white thing, in other words.
I'm also thinking about the link between knowing something and being able to renounce a certain material object or attachment. We know things are...
You can't give anything up. Don't try. There's a saying that I use often. You can't do a don't. It's impossible. Like if I say to you, let's say I make up some story right now. I say there's a pink elephant with three heads on him. Everybody should picture the pink elephant with three heads. Okay? You can see it in your eye, in your mind's eye, your imagination. Don't think of a pink elephant with three heads. Don't think of it. Then it becomes impossible not to think of it. You know, the more I tell you not to do it. You ever try that with a kid, a child, and you say, don't do this. The kid said, does it. So the mind is like a child. The more you tell it not to do so, if I say, don't go to the movies, don't go, you say, wow, there must be something nice, interesting there. Maya sounds interesting. You know, whatever. Or don't. The famous saying of devotees is, don't be in Maya. You can't do a don't. It's impossible because it's a negation of a negation. So you have to put Krishna there. If you put Krishna there, somehow or other, then the other things become less interesting. Why wouldn't I want to go bowling or whatever, you know, whatever people do here for sports? What is the main sport here?
Football.
Why don't I go to football games? Because I got so many more interesting things to do. That's called Rasa Varjam Rasa Pyasha Param Dushra Nivartate. Isn't it? Vishayava Nivartate Nirasha Dena. Rasa Varjam Rasa Pyasha Param. So if you're attracted to Krishna, that's why I don't want to get too much into like negating things, like don't do this, don't do that. Prabhupada said we have so many donuts. You know, donuts? You know what a donut is? Donut is like a cookie with a hole in it or something like that. I haven't eaten a donut in like 40 years, so maybe 30. So we shouldn't present Krishna consciousness as a bunch of donuts, you know, do nuts. Because then it's just, you think of something more. It's a matter, when you think negatively about something, you're still contemplating on it. It's like, you know, another example Prabhupada gave of the two sannyasis who were crossing the river. And one sannyasi carried a lady across, and the other sannyasi thought about it for the next 35 kilometers. So who was more attached? The sannyasi was thinking about it in a negative way, right? Negative thoughts can sometimes be more intense than positive thoughts. Like, who is thinking about Krishna more than Kamsa? Right? I mean, Kamsa, I wish I could meditate on Krishna as much as Kamsa did. In 24 hours a day, you know, Krishna, oh, Krishna, Krishna, kill Krishna, Krishna. I mean, not in a good way. But still, so we don't want to get like that with the material world. And then you actually just start to get more attracted. Because the mind works in such a way, the more you think of something in a negative way, not doing it, then the more attractive it gets. Like a child. You know, you can't have this candy. Or like Krishna said, you can't, Krishna's, the elderly members in in Braj, they were saying, you can't have this butter. And they were putting it higher. So it just became more enthusiastic, more just more exciting to get it, right? If something is the forbidden, then it's much more exciting to get it. You become more attracted to it. So I don't want to go through the whole thing like, don't do this, don't do that. It's a question of just loving Krishna. Like the same thing, like if someone loves, like there's a man and a woman, and the man loves his wife so much, he won't look at any other woman. It's not that he has a thing, I can't look at other women. He just loves her so much. Or like Rupa Goswami says, if you at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love in this world, go to see Krishna or Govinda, who's playing on the bank of the Keshi, on the bank of the Jamuna, the Keshi god playing his flute. So, anyways, my realization, talk about realization, is you become attracted to Krishna by hearing Krishna's pastimes. And then automatically these things go away, and you know, desires to do other things will just like fade away. I think that's our process more than anything else. Of course, I mean, we have certain do-nots, like no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, but you know, you don't want to impose more do-nots on devotees, right? Then it gets so wild. You know, don't do this, don't do that. Then initiation would take 10 hours, you know, with all the do-nots, you know. What are the 1,000 regulated... Listen, what are the 1,000 regulated principles? Yeah. Yeah, well, even more than that, you know, the 64... Yeah, the 64 offenses, yeah. Do not go to movies, do not speed in your car, do not use your mobile phone when you're driving, you know. Your life becomes so crazy at that point. I mean, 4 regulated principles is enough for any one of us, isn't it? Because then, even sometimes some of the Vaishnava literature is like it gets too much. Like even like the Hari Bhaktivinoda says, what is it? No, there's certain things you're not supposed to eat. What is that again that you're not supposed to eat? No carrots. Right? So no carrots. So sometimes people from other organizations, they criticize ISKCON devotees for eating carrots. Has any heard about that before? You haven't heard about that. If you've been in India, you know that. They criticize, you ISKCON devotees, you eat carrots. You're going to hell, you're eating carrots. You know, you can go crazy in life if you think of all the do-nots, you know. But Prabhupada ate carrots. And on the Kadasi, he made carrot halva, right? I was there, I know, you know, so Prabhupada liked carrots. And so, you know, there's all these prohibited things, you know, that you can't do on this day, you can't do on that day. You can actually go crazy. I mean, yes, if you're a ritualistic Brahmin, then it sort of engages your mind in Krishna consciousness. That's the purpose of it. So you're asking, why is it there in the Hari Bhakti Vilas? Because they were preaching to ritualistic brahmanas. So they wanted to give them plenty of rituals so they feel good about themselves. You know, ritualistic brahmana likes to do everything, keep the fire burning all the time in his house. Did you know that? Brahmana has to keep the fire all the time. Fire sacrifice every day. He has to say all these mantras before he eats prasadam. It's like a 3-hour recitation of mantras before you eat. And then when you're taking a shower in the morning, you have to call the Ganges from the shower. You come into the shower. I mean, it becomes really complicated life. One time I was in a temple, and there was a ritualistic Brahmin there, and we had to share the same shower. And I was, you know, it was time for Mangal Arati. I was knocking on the door, and I said, what are you doing there? He said, I'm calling the Ganges and saying the mantras so I can take a bath in all the holy rivers. I said, forget about the holy rivers. I want to go to Mangal Arati. So, I mean, you can get into all these different things if you're a ritualistic Brahmana, but I think 4 do-nots is enough for us. And Prabhupada didn't make you vow to do any more do-nots. You know, so then even if a devotee is not on the same standard as you are as far as your renunciation, you should be compassionate. Just don't find fault in them. You know, I saw you at the movies the other night. you were at Avatar. You know, then it creates a society where people are feeling so guilty all the time about everything they do. You can't do that. I mean, you have to be mature adults. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
My Guru Maharaj says that God Leela is still going on.
Who's the going?
God Leela. God Leela.
God Leela is still going on. Yes.
Yeah. Gaur Leela.
Gaur Leela. Yeah. Yeah.
And he says that book distributors are a part of it.
That's right.
So you have like little more like.
Well, I mean, I think that's enough. You know. I mean, what can I say? Book distribution is part of Gaur Leela. The Sankirtan movement is part of Gaur Leela. The expansion of the movement is part of Gaur Leela. Chanting Hare Krishna, Kirtan, not only book distribution, but Harinam Sankirtan is part of Gaur Leela. Yeah. Yeah.
When he wanted to change his Ramayana.
What's that?
His MP3 format of Ramayana.
Ramayana, yeah.
Where can it be taken
from? I have it. I guess I could give someone a copy if they want it. But it's a long thing. It's hundreds of hours. But it's really exciting. It's not the abridged version. It's the full version of the Ramayana. And it's the Valmiki Ramayana, which is beautiful. And in addition, I've been doing some of my own recitations of other Vaishnava literatures. And I have those in MP3s too. So, but I haven't. It's several gigabytes of stuff. And you listen, I mean, we have all these books too. Not only, other devotees have done books, Prabhupada's books, you know, the books, Chaitanya Bhagwat, we have also. And so you listen while you're driving your car, while you're doing other things. I mean, there's so much opportunity. People say, I have no opportunity to hear. But you're driving a car. Don't do it while you're driving a bicycle. It's dangerous. You know, I see people going around with driving a bicycle with headsets on. It's actually dangerous. I mean, believe me, I know firsthand it's dangerous. It's actually dangerous. But while you're driving a car, you can listen. You don't have on your, have some loudspeakers. Or, of course, you can't wear headset when you're driving a car. I think that's illegal. But you can turn it on. Somehow or other, have it in the speakers. And or in your house, when you're getting up in the morning, when you're bathing your deities, when you're doing whatever you're doing, cooking, you listen to some sort of Krishna Katha. It's nice. I mean, it's just so enlivening. Then you remember all day and night, you know, you start jumping around in ecstasy. I know when I listen to the Ramayana, I start thinking, oh, this Hanuman, Jai Hanuman. You know, when Hanuman came back from Lanka the first time after seeing Sita, and he was flying through the air, and all the monkeys looked up, you know, receiving him on the shore, you know, the southern shore of India, the Hanuman roared with, just like in a football game, you know, he roared, Jai! And everybody was just so ecstatic. Hanuman's done it, and they greeted him, and it was just so nice like that. You know, just hearing, it makes you so excited. Bhavanti Ridkarna Rasayana Katha Tijoshana Dasu Apavargavart Manishrada Ratir Bhakti Nukramishati, right? Lord Kapila Dev says that. That it enters from the ear to the heart, and then Sadaratira Bhakti Anukramashati, your faith grows, your taste grows, you get bhava, and then ultimately bhakti from this hearing process. Hearing is the most important thing. Hearing about Krishna. It's so nice. It's so nice. I mean, hearing, chanting, these, there's nothing else that's so pleasurable. Then you automatically Vairagya comes about. You don't have to try for Vairagya separately. You know, with the do not do this, do not, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Don't do that. I remember, just being practical, when I first joined the movement, I was told that if you sleep more than 5 hours a day, you're an illusion. And so we were walking around all day long like... you know, they wouldn't let us sleep more than 5 hours. You ever experience this? And then all day long, and we drive in a car, you fall asleep. Well, every time you stop at a red light, you go to sleep. And then behind you, they do the horn. You wake up. You know, all these things, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. It's just gets, I mean, after all these years in the Hare Krishna movement, I just don't want to hear any more do-nots. I just want to hear do's. You know, I can't live my life as a negative. I have to live it in a positive way. And then you love Krishna, and then automatically the do's, the do-nots are taken care of automatically. Okay, I think we should end. Do not give long classes. And this one is too long.